seat in her, like, as her in British literature, according to my Brit Lit teacher. So, pretty fun.
And welcome back to the Tita Talks podcast. I'm your host, Tita Cat. On today's episode, we are talking about owning your narrative. So something that I've heard often from people is this idea that I'm good at owning my narrative. And I also want to get into the idea of language and how powerful it is in doing exactly that. So in a lot of ways, I have been able to control the narrative in my life, kind of flip the script on things that I think the average person might feel is out of their own control. And having the ability to use language and change the narrative in a way that is most advantageous for me. Now, something about me, and if you're close to me, you'll hear this very often, is I am very much a speak into existence type of person. I typically don't accept things for as they are if I don't like them. I really very much speak things into existence. And there have been a couple examples of this just in my life. And the example that's coming up, I think most often, is how it relates to career and job title. I've been working with a couple of people close to me on kind of crafting their elevator pitch. And I think this is one very powerful and simple way that we can control our own narratives. We can control the way that we're perceived by other people, but more importantly, perceived by ourselves, right? So for me, this idea of controlling the narrative is really about being strong in your beliefs, being strong in who you are. And to be quite honest, like if I meet someone for the first time and they're elevator pitch is no good, I tend not to trust it. For me, I think most, if not everyone, should be able to explain at least their career and what they do in 10 seconds, like 10 seconds, 30 seconds tops. If you can tell me what you do for work in that much time, I don't really trust what it is. And, you know, the career and elevator pitch work thing, it's an easy example. I typically don't like to lead with, oh, what do you do, when I meet someone for the first time, because I think that's kind of a dated question. I don't really care too much about people's work, but people still tend to very much tie their own identities to that. You know, my preferred question is really more around like, who are you and what's your story and what keeps you busy and what keeps you up at night? But again, normally what we lead with is our elevator pitch. And, you know, the elevator pitch is also a very useful tool for us, again, in work and in business, to attract the right clients, to attract the right future opportunities. So this exercise of having a well-scripted, but also precise, like there's a certain precision in the language that makes us sound more confident than maybe we actually are. So my whole thing about elevator pitches, and I'm a prime example of this, is I'm very much a speak into existence kind of person. So even if the position that you're currently in, even if your business is not at a certain point, I really encourage people and myself to speak about the business, speak about themselves as if they're already in those things. Okay. So for example, right now, my elevator pitch is, hey, I'm Kat Da'aka. I'm a negotiations coach, educator, and speaker. Okay. So If I were to go into each of those little pieces, I would say that negotiation coach for me is a very specific intersection of things. If I get more specific into it too, and sometimes for my own more extended elevator pitch, is that I'm a negotiations coach, educator, and speaker specializing in decolonized negotiation strategies. So those things together, I know that they don't exist out in the market, but that unique intersection of things is where I go. So for me, when I think about the specific choice of language there, it's very strong. There's not anybody else who's doing it. And I know that that is the specific intersection of things where I exist, right? So, you know, it's easy for me to just be like, I'm a coach, or, I teach negotiations, right? Like the sequencing of words, and even like, again, picking a specific kind of lane to occupy, I think is important when it comes to getting your point across very clearly, right? So for me, the precision of language is one of those ways that we can control the narrative. And when I say control the narrative, I really mean, again, like bring a certain level of confidence, right? Like, as I just mentioned, when someone comes to me with an elevator pitch and it's long-winded and they can't explain what they do, immediately I just like don't trust it, because in my head, they don't believe it. Like anybody who's over explaining anything, like, are you trying to convince me or are you trying to convince you? And there's a Shakespeare saying that I probably say wrong every time, but I like it very much. And everyone makes fun of me for using it, because they're like, what are you talking about right now, Kat? I'm so confused. But the saying is, and again, I'm certain the words are in the wrong order, but the lady doth protest too much, methinks. Okay. So basically in that saying, what Shakespeare is trying to get at is, the lady doth protest too much, methinks. AKA she's talking too much. She's saying too much. And you know, when someone is caught up in a lie, like, I know you've seen it. I know you've seen somebody get caught up in a lie and be like, da, 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 da. And you're just like, okay, these are a lot more details than I actually needed. Like, I didn't need to know that you had a panini at lunch today, but the fact that you're giving me too much information or saying too much, it makes me not trust it, right? So for me, like the shortness of it, it needs to be concise. The precision of language is important. But that is kind of one of those ways where I think it's gives us a certain level of confidence when we know exactly what that short saying is going to be. Honestly, somebody could tell me anything, and if they say it with their chest, I believe them, right? Like if somebody comes to me with their elevator pitch or their, you know, job title, whatever, and they say it very confidently, I don't question it because they know it's true, right? And when you believe it about yourself, other people also will, right? Like if you're into affirmations or that kind of thing, like that internal dialogue is actually very important. And I'm going to tell you right now, here's a very, very simple example of me controlling the narrative in my own head in order to get myself to do things or to speak things into existence or realization. So the type of person that I am when it comes to roller coasters and amusement parks is I am the tita, I am the auntie who volunteers to hold everybody's stuff because I was not physically built for roller coasters. Okay. That's what I have always told myself. That's always what I've believed and kind of who I've always been is I don't really ride the roller coasters. I'm really here to eat a corn dog and like maybe play a game or two, but I'm really here for a corn dog and some cotton candy. Oh, and a deep fried Oreo, definitely a deep fried Oreo. But I'm never one to volunteer us to go on a scary roller coaster or anything that spins too much because I get motion sickness pretty often. I'm afraid of heights. The list continues, okay? It's just not my thing. I really want to be the cute, spontaneous girl at the amusement park who's like, yeah, a roller coaster, but I'm not. I'm just super, super not. So my example of this, 4th of July, me and my mans, we went to Coney Island. And by the end of the night, we're feeling good. We're feeling great. We had a really fun day. And we're walking past this roller coaster. I think it's called the Thunderbolt, perhaps. Anyways, it's a roller coaster. It's not super long. I actually counted how long it is, like less than 30 seconds and it's over. It's got a couple loops in it, and that's like really not my favorite. And I'm really into this thing right now. Like, if you've seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, where I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to do something out of the ordinary because nothing changes if nothing changes. So I'm just going to say yes to things and do things even when I maybe am not initially called to do it or don't want to do it at all. Sorry. Also, as I'm saying this right now, balloons are coming out of a delivery van. And I just really love balloons so much. And I feel like that's a good omen. So I'm just going to slide that in really quick. In any case, we're feeling good. We're walking past this roller coaster. We're kind of looking at each other like, should we go? Should we go? And of course, Eric's down to go. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go because mama didn't raise no bitch. So I'm like, yeah, we're doing this roller coaster. And in my head, I'm already fully aware of my own internal dialogue around roller coasters and amusement parks. And I'm like, I do not ride roller coasters. Like, I don't like roller coasters. I've never been someone who likes a roller coaster. And then I immediately changed my mind. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tell myself this story in my head. I just kept saying over and over in my head, I'm someone who enjoys roller coasters. I've always liked roller coasters. I'm so excited to go on this roller coaster right now. And I said it a couple times in the line. And I honestly just felt so calm about it. I don't know. Previous to that, I was like pretty nervous about going on the roller coaster just because, again, I have this very strong belief that I'm not built for roller coasters and I don't like it. And honestly, I just said it a couple times and I said it out loud to him too. I was like, I have always liked roller coasters. I am very excited to ride this roller coaster right now. And he knows I don't like roller coasters. And yeah, I was kind of just immediately calm by it because I stepped immediately into that power. I stepped immediately into that person. And it's weird that I can just trick my brain to do that very quickly. It's like, yep, I do like roller coasters. And then I went on it and it was super fun. And I'm so glad that I did. And I'm so glad that I didn't miss out on that 30-second rush of adrenaline because it was so much fun. I had so much fun. So that to me is a very easy, easy example of how in my life I'm able to control the narrative through language. And again, just like using that thought to step into power, right? Like step into whatever power you have inside of you, like leverage that, right? I think it's just so easy to do that. So for me, the other thing I like to think about is that every day we're gaining repetition. So like that roller coaster example was another tiny test to myself, right? I do think in those moments, I have the choice between going, okay, I can do the thing that I've always done and be the person that I've always been, or I can choose to challenge that and see what happens. And typically I'll pick the latter. And it's really cool. It's kind of this message to myself that like, you know what? You can trust yourself and your decisions and you can try things and be safe trying them, right? So again, in these really tiny, tiny moments, I think it's cool to have these moments of trust building within yourself in order to get you to this place where the bigger things don't feel so big and scary. So that is my very simple and easy example of using language. So again, tying it back to this example of a job title, right? So when I think about decolonized negotiation, my fear around that, like in my logical thinking brain, my fear around that is that I will say that to somebody and they will think I'm crazy or that I'm making it up or that that's not a job or career that you can do. And then I remember that I do not care about what anybody else thinks. And that, again, when I think about the life that I'm trying to create, when I think about the career that I want to have, the clients that I want to attract, nobody's going to want to work with me if I'm wishy-washy in the elevator pitch, right? So whatever that looks like for you and your aspirational job title, right? Like I really love the idea of an elevator pitch being almost like half, if not fully aspirational, because nobody can tell you that you're not doing it, right? Like how on earth are you supposed to get your first client or project or whatever if you don't say you're the one doing it, right? So that's the way that I approach it. That's the way that I walk through the world. And to be quite honest, it has attracted me clients for one-on-one consulting, clients for anti-oppression training, that type of thing. And it's because I go out into the world and just say that I am these things. And people have to believe you. People have to believe you. If you believe it, they also have to believe it. So I think that's a really cool way to think about it and to leverage, that kind of like use of language. So another example that I can give of controlling my narrative, and hopefully, again, the whole point of this podcast is to inspire thoughtful action. So hopefully it inspires some thoughtful action within you as well. But one of the ways that I'm very good at controlling a narrative is that I'm very annoying. No, I'm just kidding. But kind of, I tend to not accept things for how they are without at least questioning them first. And one of the examples that I can give is when I was selling my condo, I was instructed by the bank to get basically a separation agreement. So at that time, I had bought a condo with my ex, and I needed a separation agreement just so that he wouldn't take me for my part of it. Okay. So that it would be split the way that it should be split instead of 50-50. That's all I'm going to say about it. And essentially what the financial advisor told me was that I needed to see a lawyer to get a separation agreement. And I went to a couple of lawyers. They quoted me around $1,000 for an agreement. And I just thought, what a waste of money that is to spend $1,000 on that. So because I am who I am, I drafted my own separation agreement. And mind you, my background is in contracts, so this is not like a far out task for me, but I'm just going to say any person could have done what I did, and maybe they wouldn't have been so quick to think of doing this because of my background, but any person could have done what I did. So I went online and and there's actually like a contract generator that you can use online. And it was not free to use, but I typed in the information. It showed me the sample of it. And because it was free, you couldn't copy and paste. So what I did was I manually typed out the contract from there because I didn't want to spend the dollars because I'm a cheapo. But in any case, I really do think like in that time, there were people around me who were just like, wow, a normal person would have just paid the $1,000, but here you are just saying like, nope, I refuse. I refuse to pay the $1,000. Let me control this situation in the way that I know how and do it on my own. And I think I have always been that way where, I don't know, I watch people kind of accept things as they are without even trying to question or get things closer to their desired outcome, you know, like in my own coaching. And again, maybe it's my specific lens. Maybe I'm extremely biased in this opinion, but in my coaching and consulting for negotiation, I watch a lot of people accept the first offer from an employer or accept a contract as written without knowing that you can send a counter offer or you can send amendments to a contract. Like we actually have a lot more control in our lives than we think we do. And I think that's really the message here is you don't have to accept the things as they are. You can also just say no is the other option. But I think there's collaborative ways to work closer or work towards getting you to your best possible outcome than just accepting things as they are. And maybe that's why I am in the position that I am today, because I've always been someone to question that. Like, why are things the way that they are? Why can't I have the thing that I want? Why does it have to be how everyone else is doing it? Why can't I do it in the way that I want to do? And another example is coming to mind, and maybe this will be the last piece that I share. But back in 2020, when I started my business, I was approached by a magazine called Supply Professional, which I promise you is a real and not made up publication. But in any case, they wanted to run a story about me and my business because I had at that time quit my job, started freelancing in supply chain management. And that was a little bit unheard of in my industry and, you know, an interesting enough story. I later came to learn that that was going to be the cover story for that issue. So if you go to Supply Pro and you search up the August or July 2020 issue, you'll find me and my face and my story. But something I knew about myself at that time is, and this is coming out of a couple of different interviews. Okay. So at that point, I had already had a couple of publications out just for the work that I'm doing in supply chain already at that time. A couple came out in 2018 and 2019. And one of the things that I had noted then is I am not my best in a interview over the phone, because that's how those other interviews had happened. And when it came out in writing, I didn't like the way that it was portrayed. So when I was approached for that cover story, I told them, yeah, I'm happy to do the story. And they were, you know, trying to set up a phone interview with me. And I said, look, the only way I'm going to feel comfortable doing this is if you email me the questions and I can type out the answers and send them back to you. And he said, yep, no problem. We can do that. And that's how I was able to control that narrative. Because for me, I know that when I sit and thoughtfully write something, it comes out differently than in like this setting where I am very casual in the way that I speak. But I know that something in a publication, something that is written and lives for a long time, I really wanted it to have a certain tone. And I wanted a lot of control again around the language, especially at this time, because this is right when my business was starting. And it was really important for me to, again, be very mindful of the way that it was being portrayed, the things that were being said, the things that I said. And I felt a lot more comfort in being able to write it in an email. And I remember sharing that story with a friend, and he was just like, oh, you could just ask and do the interview differently. I'm just like, well, I'm the cover story, right? So if I say no, they have to find somebody else. And if they actually care about this story, they'll be willing to work with me, right? So I just asked the question and I got it done the way that I wanted to. So in any case, the whole point, again, what I'm trying to drive home is you can just control things. You have a lot more control over the things that happen in your life. Like, I just want to encourage us all, like what I want for all of us is just to start questioning things and asking for more. And, you know, you're not burdening anyone or annoying anyone when you do so. I'm just here to validate you in those moments. But what I really want for us is to just feel safe and okay to ask for things in our terms instead of accepting what's given to us. So, you know, there was a certain language piece that I wanted to include and we kind of covered that, but really, again, for me, this idea of controlling the narrative, I just want us to tap into that power. So I'd love to hear about your stories on how you've controlled your narrative. So feel free to drop me. How does podcasts work? You can DM me on Instagram, Kat Daaka. That's where I'm at, or Tita Talks on Instagram. I'd love to hear about the ways that you yourself have controlled the narrative. But yeah, in any case, that's me. I just stay annoying. I just stay asking a lot of questions. And it's really gotten me like a rich quality of life in a lot of different ways. And I really want that for all of us. So in any case, that brings us to the end of today's Tita Talks podcast episode. This is a fun one. And, you know, when they start off, they always kind of veer off in like a slightly different direction than I thought, but it's always a good time. So I will see you on the next Tita Talks podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
When we reach the highway, this dyke wanna go all night, boom, boom. This dyke wanna be alone with you. This dyke wanna go all night, boom, boom. Tell me, baby, what you wanna do. Tripping like paint, let's make a work of art, drawing circles on you. till you come apart. This water is holy. Got you questioning God, flowing like the ocean, breaking all their laws. This dyke wanna go all night. Boom, boom.
Welcome, bonjour à tous. Vous écoutez à Radio Capois on 90.3 FM CKUT, where we broadcast every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is Fanny Cristo, and we are back from the musical break. And you know we play nothing but the hottest tracks from the Philippine ex-diaspora. Before that, we heard from our Winnipeg Capois, the one, the only Kataaka, with her monthly Tita Talk segment. And now, it's time for our regularly scheduled news update, regularly brought to you by John Marvin Reyes. But he couldn't make it for this week, so y'all will have to do with me. Okay, with that said, I'm here to report. The government is to expand EDSA bus carousel routes and promote active transport. The government will, quote, expand and extend, unquote, the EDSA bus carousel routes and prioritize the promotion of active modes of transportation to ease traffic congestion in Metro Manila, President Ferdinand R. Marcos Jr. announced in a short video posted on Facebook on Sunday. Included in the latest transportation initiatives are the refurbishment of Pasig River ferry stations and the construction of bridges across the river. Quote, to address traffic congestion in Metro Manila, we will expand and extend routes for EDSA bus carousel, refurbishing the Pasig River stations and constructing bridges across the Pasig River, end quote, Marcos said. Quote, we will prioritize active transportation facilities, including safe walkways and secured bike lanes, to promote healthier and more sustainable modes of travel, end quote, he added. In another Facebook video posted Saturday morning, Marcos said he issued Executive Order Number 56, which regulates the use of protocol license plates, and Administrative Order Number 18, prohibiting government officials and personnel from using sirens, blinkers, and similar signaling devices, after carefully considering the public suggestions on addressing the traffic concerns. Marcos, in another Facebook video posted Saturday evening, said the government is also fast-tracking the construction of transportation infrastructure projects by extending construction hours and implementing round-the-clock emergency repairs. The announcement of a series of traffic measures followed the Bagong Pilipinas town hall meeting on traffic concerns last April 10, where concerned national government agencies, local governments, transport groups, and other stakeholders tackled how to unify solutions to ease traffic congestion problems in our country, particularly in the metropolis. The president also encouraged citizen participation through the comment section of the town hall meeting's social media live feed. And this article was written by Daryl John Esguerra and published on April 22, 2024 on the PNA website. That's pna.gov.ph. And that's the latest word from the homeland. And now we're going to slip into another musical break. So if you're in your car or you're at home, wherever, pump that volume up. And I'll catch y'all again in a few with some community announcements. Once again, this is Fanny Cristo, and you are listening to Radio Capua on 90.3 FM CKUT.
An evolution, shifting up positions, not asking for permissions, firm in this wisdom, foothold in a galaxy, challenging these systems, shouting revolution, oh
while breaking each tradition. Constant evolution is a shifting of positions. I'm not asking for permission, firm in this wisdom, foothold in the galaxy, challenging these systems. Vibrate through reality, light code, the alchemy, dimensional formality, run force to help to be interactivated into our intuition, inner captivated, time tuned to this position, into actuated hours, into all these missions, and to activate the stars that ascend to all this fission. Shout a revolution, breaking these traditions, constant evolution, shifting up positions, I'm asking for permissions, firm in this wisdom, foothold in the galaxy, challenging these systems. Shouting revolution, oh, while breaking these traditions. Constant evolution is a shifting opposition.
What is a witch? Cast a spell on him. Journey through the glitch. Tick tock, magic carpet floating through time. Magnify the matrix. Balance for the levels. She, devil, she, angel, she, omni, he, she, they. How you look at it? How you look at it? Eyes wise, what was mine? Elder is a child on the front line. Signs traced to face duality of rhyme. Humility and trying. Got skills from crimes committed against the system. I've been fighting ever since you was a kid and they called you savage. Now we kick him spit. Traditions obedient to cosmic. Say it cause you mean it. Dance cause you mean it. Sign up on the statements, re-sculpt the landscape, homie, redesign it, till I hear my sis say, focus on your target, cops up with the scars lit, killing them with softness, finger to the markers, back of the cardinal, bargain, just acknowledge stars, or take your own medicine, it will go far for healing, radical existence, energy we swim in, salmon by the banca, she scream maki baka, march like the water, tell me how to scheme on, and with their own language, mother tongue took the last flight, from Manila to Coast Salish, I'm a baby roaring, I'm a bitch burning, what's a witch learning, universe teach me, teach us how to weep free, universe teach me, teach us how to weep free,
galaxy challenging these systems.
It's summertime. All of you sinners, come forth and be cleansed. Worry not about judgment, for my fruit is not forbidden.
I'm your temptation, only devotion, greatest of vision,
divine.
Ain't no secret. Commune on your tongue. Let's eat it. Worship. Go pray. Don't disobey. Got you kneeling on a Sunday. Better leave your fear behind. Kill the demons in your mind. Get baptized and keep it tight. Boy, confess your sins tonight.
sa mga manay. Bet mo loo kung ibenta ang puday. Fake taxi, everybody wanna ride. Kasha palima lahat, baka kasakay. From the province to Manila, ibang klase kong dumila. Mga hat bumipila sa manika. Come taste this like you're following the leader. Fem queens and a villa of Manila.
Mic check, pasabog si Badel. Pulutan ko a fam sa may kanto ko na get. Say na humaling, just sa kung ituring. Kahit di niya pa alam na ang dami ko a fam. Ooh, boss, maldito sa kalam. Blue cut, real son, a date like a medalist. World class Filipino with the mommy wrist. Mama song, laging mama sa masang, laging fresh, nakakata kata come, ang daming poppy, yeah. Ooh, yeah, so yummy, yummy. From dogs to the gates to the QBT. You can see me flourishing, so my bitches in.
Strut the floor like a winning queen. My beauty will make you scream. Blind you in my gleam, you see. Even gods are jealous of me. She part the seas like she's Moses. Mama turned into a catwalk. I got ways for drama. I got moves with the flow. I'm the queen marina. And I do it so hot all year. It's summer.
Born in an island and raised by the sea. Gold in my skin. I'm the Filipino queen.
I'm a Filipina. I'm right.
Queen, sa kayo magikong balat na papatingin. Mga binti kong nakikita na sa magazine. From the province to the world, everybody wanna see me. Just morena things. Pawi sa balat, tila pang mga palamuti. Lahat sila'y nakaabang sa aking mga ngiti. I'm the siren serenading the Manila Sea. It's Marina Summers, kapag walang minti.
Di ko kailangang sumabay pa sa uso. Ako'y magiging ako na aking ginusto.
I'm a Filipina. Sabihin ng iba,
I'm a Filipina. Umaapaw ang karisma. Ang tunay kong ganda sa lahat na iiba.
I'm a Filipina. Filipino winner.
kill the team like a psycho. Let me stretch, let me bite on solo. Rewrite all the books, now it's game. Oh,
carry on, yeah. Can't bring this diva down. Within my song, his crown is crown. Gold in my skin, I'm the Filipino queen. I'm a Filipina.
Tell me that you're working.
know sex is not about a look. It's how you feel. Are you ready to get sexy with me? So what are you waiting for? Let's get sexy tonight.
Well, I'm gonna get dressed for the evening. Yes, I'm gonna look like a fox tonight. Put on my highest boots and then show the world that I feel alright. Yes, I'm gonna give them heads a turning, just to let them know everything's okay. Yes, I'm gonna walk the dancing floor, raise my arms and then shout, hey, I'm feeling sexy tonight.
Back. And if you are just tuning in for the first time, or you need a friendly reminder, this is Radio Kapwa broadcasting through your speakers from 90.3 FM CKUT every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. My name is Fenny Cristo, and we are about to get into the community announcements. So, as we always say, mark your calendars. Also, we actually got a lot of events to talk about this week, so I guarantee that there's going to be something for everyone. Okay, first off is an event that is actually happening today in a few hours. At 5 p.m. today, Wednesday, April 24, P10 Montreal will be hosting a workshop with Bree on the importance of consent. This is open to adults aged 18 to 28 years old. Also, because teaching consent is very important to not just adults, on Friday, April 26th at 5 p.m., they will be hosting the same workshop for teens aged 14 to 17 years old. For more info or to register, you can visit their Instagram page at P10 Montreal, where you can find the link to register. Next up, you're ready for some self-care because on Thursday, April 25th at 12 p.m., Lazarisk, in collaboration with MTL Community Healing, will be hosting a free massage day for the 2S LGBTQIA plus youth aged 18 to 35 years old. This event will be held at Studio 414 MTL, located at 10 Pine Avenue on the 4th floor. Snacks and bus tickets will be available. For more info, you can visit their Instagram pages at underscore LASTERISK, that's underscore Lasterisk, and MTL Community Healing. For the weekend on Saturday and Sunday, April 27 and 28, from 11 p.m. to 3 p.m., Girls Action will be hosting a discussion in person and online with remarkable leaders of change to learn more about current advocacy and community building initiatives in the city. For more info or to register for this two-day event, visit their Instagram page where you can find the link to register. And that's Girls Action underscore Field Action, G-I-R-L-S. A-C-T-I-O-N underscore F-I-L-L-E-S-D-A-C-T-I-O-N. Related to that, for this two-day event hosted by Girls Action also, English-speaking young women, trans and gender-diverse youth ages 16 to 30 years old based in Montreal will have the chance to produce a one-page report and our piece for Girls Action for a $250 honorarium. For more info, you can also visit their Instagram page. Next up, time to hit the pavement and stroll, because this coming Saturday, April 27, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., brought to you by Santo Capua, our monthly Capua Walk will be held at Park Extension. A mix of movement, connection, and exploring a neighborhood with Capua. Meetup spot will be at Metro Park. For more info and to register for this event, you can visit our Instagram pages at Santo Capua or our very own Radio Capua to find the link to register. We hope to see you there, and say hi if you see us. Get ready to grab a bite and indulge, because this Saturday, April 27, at Cafe Kuya, our very own chef, Eats by Dre, will be having another Kamayan feast for you to try some delicious Filipino dishes. This will include two services, and only a few spots are left for the 8 p.m. service. For more info or to register, visit the Instagram pages at cafe.kuya or eats.by.dre. Also, this coming Wednesday, Sunday, April 28, from 1:30 p.m. to 4 p.m., in honor of Lesbian Visibility Week, Sweet Like Honey MTL will be hosting a discussion on BIPOC lesbian experiences in the various forms of media. For more info or to register for this event, you can visit their Instagram page at Sweet Like Honey MTL to find the link for registration. Also, starting Sunday, April 28, ball.her.way and just.h will be hosting Hoop Runs for Women, a run that is open to all women of all ages. This will be held every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Sylvan Adams, which is located at 5400 Westbury Avenue near Côte Sainte-Catherine Metro. For more info or to register, head on over to their Instagram pages at ball.her.way or just.h. That's J-U-S-T-T.h. Fast forward a few days from that, on Tuesday, April 30, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Phi Center will be hosting an English discussion with guest host Cheryl Sim, joined by artists Sonia Boyce, Rajni Pereira, and Marigold Santos. This will include a conversation about the artists and their respective exhibitions, talking about collaboration, female identity, and diasporic experience. For more info, head on over to their Instagram pages at Foundation Phi and Phi Center. That same day, on Tuesday, April 30, from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., Ensemble Vers la Grève Sociale, in collaboration with Clinique Justice Migrante, MAC de Montréal, and Oui Cobien, will be hosting a gathering and a diner to demand status for all in Canada. For more information on this event, head on over to their Instagram pages. Now, this next one isn't an event, but more of an announcement. POC MTL is currently recruiting for coordinators and organizing members to join their amazing team for the spring and summer session. Make sure you fill out the form located in the link via Instagram, which is PACMTL, because applications will close on May 1st. And moving on, get your groove on, because starting Sunday, May 5th, from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m., DJs Fly Lady Die and Delectic, in collaboration with Poubelle.Magnifique, will be hosting a Sunday R&B party once a month up to and including September. This party, called Sunday Shorties, will be held at 1221 Rue Croissant on their patio or one of their cozy booths on the third floor. For more info, visit their Instagram pages at Fly Lady Die, at Delectic, and at Poubelle.Magnifique. Finally, in celebration of Asian Heritage Month on May 7th, catch the double bill of Ceylon and MAQ, aka the Mary Anchetta Quartet, playing at La Sala Rosa, located at 4848 Boulevard Saint Laurent. For more info and a link to purchase tickets, check out Mary's IG at Mary Anchetta. And damn, that was a long list, more than we usually have. I won't lie, my throat's a little dry, so I'm going to grab some water right after we sign out, because it's important to stay hydrated. Shouts to all the Hydra homies if you're on Reddit. But okay, we are approaching the end of our broadcast. Thanks, merci, and salamat for tuning in. You have been listening to Radio Kapwa on 90.3 FM CKUT, and this has been Fenny Cristo. Catch y'all again next week, same time from 2 to 3 p.m. on the same day, Wednesday, on the same station, 90.3 FM CKUT. Peace out and one love.
Listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
King.
Hey, Gwaz. Hey, Gwaz. Kyo rin simka?
Wakwa po rin, boy. Donga dada.
Pudu adrinis yoris adwurara irai.
Ie. An.
Away away hey ya.
If you were all the way live, then step aside.
Radio with Widget and my man Pro V.
All the way live from university.
Damn, Montreal.
On CKUT. Nobody doing better, dog.
90.3 FM.
Gone. CKUT in the place to be, from the bottom to the TOP.